Will you please turn to the first chapter of Ruth? I would like to consider the verses 6 through to 18, where you have the change of direction. Moab, having been tried and found wanting, Naomi is prompted to get up and return to the land of her birth, to Judah. She goes seeking bread. And I want to speak on seeking the bread of life. But before we go any further, please join with me in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, may the Spirit of God, who wrought in Naomi and in Ruth this wonderful desire, this driving force that brought them to Judah, work amongst us today. He is the Spirit of life. He is the blessed Spirit who has been sent forth to turn sinners to Christ. Oh God, let there be evidence of the working of God the Holy Ghost amongst us today. May I know His grace and His power, Lord, filling me, helping me to preach the Word. Come then, Lord. Come then, I pray, and work amongst us to the glory of Thy name and the reviving of Thy people for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I did comment when I was reading how that there has been a downward trend in the story of Elimelech and Naomi. They took a wrong decision, you know, to go to Moab. It's never right to go to Moab. Never right to turn your back on the promised land, on the land into which God leads His people, and go looking for a better life in that place where the thinking of the heathen reigns, in that place where there is nothing known of God, His power and His blessing. There can be no good found there. And so it proves here in the experience of Elimelech and Naomi. What an example of the price that abandoning God and His Word we have in these verses. Death has come again and again to the household of Naomi. She's robbed of her husband. Then she's robbed of her sons. And it's then. Oh, how low God has to bring us sometimes before we heed His voice. How low. This section of the chapter 1, in dealing with Naomi's return to Judah, reminds us very much of the prodigal son, doesn't it? In the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, you find him saying, when he has been brought right down to starvation, having left the father's house and the bounty and the love that was there, motivated by a desire for the far country, he left and he paid the price. And in the state of starvation, he said, in my father's house there is bread enough and to spare. I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father. And the same process is at work here in the story of Naomi. The same process. Listen, God's ways never change. God's ways never change. If God's going to save you, He's going to do it in exactly the same way He has ever saved anyone. People think, you know, that, oh, we're living in a modern world. Things are so different now. Things are not in the least different. Not in the least different. I noticed the other day that Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, died. He died. I have to say a wee bit for Ulster. His ancestors came from County Tyrone. In fact, he visited the area from which his ancestors came from. I think it was Six Mile Cross, where we have a Free Presbyterian Church. But we'll set all that aside. You know, it was a big day when he left that frail little spacecraft and stepped down that ladder and stepped on the moon. First man on the moon. Now, people were saying, isn't this progress? Isn't this just so new? This has never been done before. Oh, how far we have come. But you know something? The man who stepped on the moon was a sinner just like Adam. Man on the moon, tremendous event. But that great technological advance hadn't altered human nature. And mankind, human nature is still the same today as ever it was. That's why we need the same saving grace to bring sinners to Christ as has been at work in past ages. So, there is a similarity then between the New Testament story of the prodigal son and the wonderful story here of Naomi. She's stirred in her heart to go and return actually to her father's house. And it's bread that is the motive for returning, both for her and for the prodigal. Bread, of course, is used in the scriptures as a wonderful symbol, a type of the gospel. All men eat bread. All men need bread. It's the staff of life. All men need Christ, who is the bread of life. If you're here today and you are not saved, listen to me. You need Christ. If you do not partake of Christ, you will perish eternally. Just as the absence of food will bring a person physically to death, so the absence of the bread of life, Christ, will bring a person to everlasting death. You need Christ. And the story here of Ruth and her seeking for food, because she was in great need, she was poverty stricken, is a wonderful story to illustrate to us the ways of God. When she and her husband and her two sons had left Judah to go to Moab to better themselves, they forfeited God's blessing. And despite, I'm sure, their best efforts to better themselves, without the Lord, their life could only get worse, and so it did. But she did belong to the Lord. Consequently, the Lord did not forsake her. For he does seek out his erring child. And he does it in a fashion that again does not change. He chastened her. God chastened Naomi. He chastened her. Like a wayward child ought to be chastened, ought to be disciplined for its waywardness. So the Lord disciplined Moab, or Naomi rather. He disciplined Naomi. And the rod of judgment fell upon her until she realized that she had done wrong and gone wrong. And the only way for her once again to enjoy the blessing of God was to return. To return. There's a lesson there for the Church of Jesus Christ. We're in Moab today. That is, we're not where we ought to be. The Church of Christ, generally speaking, certainly in this land, in this United Kingdom, it's not where it ought to be. It's not where once it was. And the only way to experience again and enjoy again what God's people in the past enjoyed is to do like Naomi. Return. Go back. Dear Christian, you and I have steps to take. We can sit in a prayer meeting and pray for revival. But until we arise and retrace our steps and get back to where we once were, there will be no revival. Naomi knew she had to go back. The Word of God given to us in Jeremiah, the chapter 6 and the verse 16 is timeless. And it tells us, even as Jeremiah preached to his generation 2,500 years ago and more, so that word comes to us. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, the people that said that, you know what happened to them. They came to ruin. They ended up as captives of the Babylonians. The nation was scattered and destroyed, and the city of Jerusalem laid waste. Because they said, no, we'll not seek the old paths. There's no hope for the people of God unless we heed what God says to us in these days and go back. Go back. Return to that obedience that once was granted by the people of God to God's word. We must search out God's word, see what it is God the Lord would have us to do. And the standards he required of old, we must once again abide by them. We cannot defy God. We cannot say, no, I'm not doing this. I want to go my way, but I expect God to bless me. That cannot happen. That will not happen. Like Naomi, we must go back. Let me come quickly and notice with you what it was that moved Naomi to return. What was it that suddenly stirred her up? Well, you can read it there in the verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She had heard. Oh, men and women, I believe in the preaching of God's word. That has ever been the means by which God accomplishes his will amongst men. Preaching. Preaching. She heard. Who told her? I don't know. I don't know. But somebody reported to her, you know, things are really going well for those Israelites there over in the land of Judah. Back in your home territory, Naomi. Things are going well. There's been a bounty granted to the people. And the harvests are prospering. The famine's gone. The people are doing well. Somebody told her. And as a result of hearing what God was doing, for it is God that's doing it, she arose and she started for home. Isn't it marvelous that God can reach his people even in Moab? Wonderful how far the message of God gets. Wonderful how far it gets. Way there in Moab. She had turned her back on the Lord. She had withdrawn from under the ordinances of God. She wasn't attending the tabernacle. She wasn't waiting on God as she was required to do. She wasn't within reach of the prophets, the reading of the law, the offering of the sacrifices. She had withdrawn herself from under these. And yet, she heard. Oh, I say to you, brethren involved in the open-air witness, keep it going. Keep it going. It's wonderful how God can cause his word to be heard, even in Moab. Look at the state Naomi was in when she heard. She was a widow. Her husband was dead. Her sons were gone. She was bereft of her whole family. She was in want. Of this I have no doubt. Of no doubt whatsoever. Poverty and widowhood were very commonly linked, not just in Bible times, and not just in Israel, but worldwide. She was in a state of woe, sorrow, grief, broken. And to her the word of God came. Oh, there is good news to be heard in the Bible, no matter what the state of your heart today, no matter how far down you may feel yourself to be, or how your life seems void of substance, comfort, joy, peace. God's word can come to you with hope. God's word can come with hope. Why was she in such a state? Oh, it was her own fault. It was her own fault. If you look at the close of the chapter where, when she arrives in Bethlehem, verse 19, her neighbors, former neighbors come out and they say, "Is this Naomi?" Very obviously there had been a change. I don't know how many years had passed. There was at least 10. And verse 4 mentions 10 years. And I'm sure there were a number of years before that. Maybe 15 years had passed. Maybe 20 years, I don't know. But in that period of time, Naomi was changed. Changed to such a degree that her neighbors were astonished. I think there is astonishment written into that exclamation. Is this Naomi? Oh, men and women, the blessing of God that maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow. The blessing of God. But reverse that. The absence of the blessing of God, the loss of the blessing of God, it maketh poor and it adds many a sorrow. It adds many a sorrow. And poor Naomi had etched upon her physical frame, particularly I'm sure upon her face, the marks of the troubles that she had gone through as a result of leaving Judah. She said in response to this question, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." I want you to notice what she says here. Please notice every word. She says, "I went out full." She's changed her mind, you know, of and her estimation of how things were with her when she left Judah. She and her husband decided, "We're going to leave Judah. We're going to go to Moab because we're in a poor state here. We have nothing. Let's go to Moab." But now, after being in Moab for a number of years and passing through the trials that she had, she says, "You know, when I was in Judah, I was full. I had plenty. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it." Again, there is the parallel with the prodigal son. For he said, when he went to the far country, "In my father's house is bread enough and to spare. I didn't know I was well off. But now I know." And Naomi is saying the same. "When I was here, I was full. I went out full." Listen. Even in the midst of famine, in God's house, we're better off than out there in the world. Better off. And she now realizes that as she comes home, having passed through what she did in the land of Moab. So she hears there's bread. So she's moved by this news to rise up and start for home. Look at the contents of the message. "She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people." What a difference a visit from God makes. Men and women, how fervently we should pray that God will visit us through that door. Come down amongst us, because what a difference that visit will make. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world at his incarnation, it was described in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel as a visit by the day star from on high. What a difference a visit from Christ makes. It's sunshine coming into a dark world. That's what we want. That's what we ought to pray for. Lord, visit us. We love to sing it. Visit us, Lord, with revival. Stricken with coldness and death, where is our hope of survival save in thy life-giving breath. That is it. Darkness and fear goes. Trouble and anxiety goes. Life and joy and peace floods in. Oh, please, please pray that Jireh Chapel may have a visit from God. That your home may have a visit from God. That your life may have a visit from God. The news you heard was of God bestowing a gift. It says she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Oh yes, they had plowed, they had sown their seed. But they had done that many a year and there had been no harvest. The process that men engaged in on this particular year was no different from what they had engaged in previous years. The difference was God gave. He gave growth. He gave a harvest. This world doesn't know or understand that anymore, that God is the author of mercy. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. England used to sing that hymn. The village churches and the town churches used to be filled with the people who give thanks to God at harvest time. They recognized the giving of God. Nobody thinks of God now as they walk the aisles of their supermarket. Christian, you never forget. You never forget that everything we have comes from the Lord. He is the author of every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above. And the giving of this harvest, the giving of this bread, why, it's a picture of the wonderful salvation that he gives. That word give is found in the very early verses of the scriptures and reminds us of its fullness of meaning. It says, God set lights in the heavens to give light. To give light. You don't have to pay for the sunshine. You don't have to pay for the sunshine. It's free. It's a gift of God. At night time, the moon, stars, the light that they shed on the earth, it's a gift from God. It's the same word that's given here, used here, giving them bread. Gift of God. That's what salvation is. I'm going around, you people, this morning, going around with, as it were, something in my hand. It's coming from God. It's a gift. A gift of salvation. You're but to take it. You're but to take it. May the Lord help you to take it and live. So this was the message that Naomi heard. And I quickly come to the second point I want to make this morning. And that is the response that Naomi made to this message. It's summed up in those two little words that we've looked at and mentioned in verse 6. She arose. She arose. You see, God's word, men and women, and youngsters here, God's word requires a response from you. It requires a response. I remember seeing a gospel tract one time. It was a very unique gospel tract. And it said on the front cover, what you need to do to go to hell. And you open it up, and there was nothing. Nothing. Those were the only words on the gospel tract. What you need to do to go to hell. There wasn't another word. You know why? You don't need to do anything to go to hell. You're on your way. What you need to do is something if you're going to be saved. She arose. She was never going to partake of this food that God was giving, this bread that God was giving in Judah. She was never going to enjoy it if she didn't go there. If she didn't respond to the message of God. Oh, may God move your heart. May God move your heart today. This was the first sign that God was working in Naomi's heart when she got up. Look at her life. from verse 1 through to 5, and it's down. It's deprivation and loss all the way. Then, suddenly, she arose. There's an upward movement. Things have turned around. There's a new direction in her life. There's something moving her. She arose. It entailed the forsaking of Moab. She arose that she might return from the country of Moab and go back again to Judah. You'll never get to heaven by remaining where you are. You'll never get to heaven by remaining where you are. You've got to obey the gospel. The gospel calls for movement, calls for action. Jesus said, "Come unto me." And if you don't leave the place where you are and come to where Jesus Christ is, you will never be in heaven. You will be lost. You'll be lost. And Naomi illustrates this for us. She had to forsake Moab and return back again. Now, it was interesting to notice that what she did had an influence on others around. Because it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law. Now, undoubtedly there would have been a discussion. The news would have come, I don't know how, but as I said, but she would have heard, there's a wonderful, bountiful harvest being granted to the people in Judah. Did you hear that, girls? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to go back there. I'm starving here. I'm going to go back. And they discussed what was entailed. The packing up of their few belongings, whatever they had. When are we going to go? What road are we going to take? There would have been a discussion. And the two women folk, Orpah and Ruth, said, "We're going to go with you." Her thinking, her planning, her action encouraged them to think of doing the same. How many people have I met throughout my life as a preacher who have said, "You know, I would get saved, but I'd like my husband to get saved, or my wife to get saved. I'd like my family to get saved. I'd like my boyfriend, my girlfriend to get saved. And I don't want to get saved until they get saved. So I'm not going to get saved until I see something happening in their lives." See, that's the wrong way. They're bargaining with God. They're not obeying God. God says, "Come." But they're saying, "Well, I will, Lord, if only I can see signs of my loved ones coming too. I'm not going to come until they show signs of coming." That's wrong. You can't say that to God. But I do believe you are given every encouragement in the Word of God to believe that if we do right, our doing right will influence others to doing right. It was so with Naomi. It was so with Naomi. Please, don't put off doing right because there are loved ones who show no signs of joining you in doing right. And you think that if I do what's right, then I'll put even greater distance between me and my loved ones. That's wrong thinking. If you do what's right, you then can stand before God and say, "Lord, I have obeyed thee. Please, now have mercy on my loved ones and save them too." Her response had an influence amongst her daughters-in-law. But please notice that Naomi's response was full of purpose. Full of purpose. It says she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. When she took her first step, it was the beginning of a journey back home. That's what she was doing. Her decision to go back was full of purpose. She was going to retrace the steps that she had taken in disobedience and folly. And she was going to go back to that place that she had should never have forsaken. That's what's needed today. That's what's needed today. A determination on your part to obey God. I'm sure there was many a tear for Naomi as she turned her back on her husband's grave, her son's graves, upon the home that she had lived in now for a number of years. Oh, there was many a sad thought, but she was determined to respond to the good news that she had heard. She was going to return to Judah. God help you today to be determined. If you're troubled in your heart, you know about salvation. I have absolutely no doubt there will be many a voice speaking to you, telling you how wrong it is to think of getting saved. Think of the difficulties. Think of those you know. What will they say? Oh, how many things the devil can cast in our path to hinder us rising up in obedience to God and turning our back upon sin and the world and going to Christ. But may you, like Naomi, be filled with steadfastness and determine in your heart, I'm going back again. In the will of the Lord, as I said, we will continue our consideration of this passage, for there is more there to be seen tonight. I trust you'll come and join with us. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, that wonderful moving in the heart of Naomi that caused her to arise and return to Bethlehem, Lord, work that grace now in hearts. I pray for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Amen.